Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today. The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
You're tuned in to Super Mega Cast, the only podcast made by brothers for brothers.
Welcome back. I knocked the cord of the mic, whatever. This is the 70th episode of the Super Mega Cast. I'm here with my good buddy Matt.
That's
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Matt.
And Matt, I believe you had something to talk about, right? You had something to start us off with, to kick us off, kind of like a good football game.
Yeah, a good football. It wasn't anything big. I just had like a really small thing I could like throw in after your, because I thought you were going to start with something and I could have just like thrown in afterwards.
Oh no, because in the beginning, fuck, just keep going.
Well, no, but it's not a big story now.
Sure we could branch it off into something.
Okay, on the way here, I was trying to take a Snapchat in a dark Uber and I had my camera on the wrong facing thing, and I flashed the driver with my bright flash, and I felt very embarrassed. That's all I had to say.
That's it. Okay, well, speaking of Ubers, I don't have any Uber stories.
Fuck, dude. But, I do.
But
I
am Uber excited.
For what?
The Disaster Artist, which you and I are seeing this Thursday.
Yes, we are. I'm excited, man. Well, that's today, technically, because the podcast comes out on Thursday.
Yeah.
Dude, I got an Uber story.
Uh-oh.
I got a real good Uber story.
Oh, okay. Go on.
I was in Seattle over the weekend because it was Thanksgiving, and I was like, I'm going to go to Seattle, visit some people. While in Seattle, I got in an Uber late night, and I had an Uber driver. It was a very inappropriate Uber ride. He said a lot of line-crossing things. He was this large 345-pound man, and I know that because he told me his exact weight.
345 pounds. 45 pounds.
So that's a big boy.
How tall was he? Was he at least tall?
He was 6 feet.
Okay.
Or 5'11".
So my height.
Yeah, something like that.
Imagine
345.
Imagine putting about like 100 and some odd pounds onto me.
Wow.
Like 160 pounds on me.
Holy! But that's more than one of me.
Yeah.
Onto you. That's wow. Yeah. Okay.
That's something.
But nothing about his weight. No, no offense
to
anyone.
No, we're not shaming.
I'm trying to paint the picture of what this ride was like.
Was he bald?
He was not. He had a little head of hair.
What's a little head of hair?
He had a small head attached to his body with a little bit of hair.
Did he have one of those baby curly Q hairstyles?
Yes, he did. He did. It was very babyish. He had a baby face, too. But I get in the car, and he was like, oh, you're lanky. And I was like, thank you. And that's when he said his weight. And I was like, oh. I'm like, what do I say back to that? Like, oh, cool. Like, awesome, man.
Cool. I have a channel.
yeah, so I'm actually a YouTuber.
Believe it or not, guys, we don't start off or try to put YouTube into every conversation we have with someone.
Well, that did come up, and I had to explain it to it was the classic, how do you make money off of that?
No, like, it's because people are always like, what do you do? And I'm like, I work online. Oh, like what online? Like videos. Oh, like what kind of videos? I'm like, YouTube videos. They can never just leave it at I work online.
I know. We got to think of something better because I always say, I just say I'm a video editor. And they go, oh, what kind of videos do you edit? And I'm like,
say you own a small time entertainment company and you also own a fashion line.
Yeah. I'll be like, I should just start making shit up for fun. Be like, yeah, I cultivate horse food. And they'll be like, oh, okay.
I'm Bryan Cranston's stepson.
And they'll just ask about Bryan Cranston. I can make a bunch of shit up and slander him.
Yeah, he's kind of a dick. Like, I mean, he has this cool persona and everything, but
he doesn't want people to know. He's actually he has like an alias he goes by, and he's a senior editor at Breitbart, believe it or not. No, but anyway, back to my Uber ride. before we even get down the end of like the first street, he's telling me how, you know, I got in my my first crash yesterday. That was my fault. I was at fault in this crash, and I'm like, great, I've been in the car 30 seconds.
I know, it's like, thanks for telling me this.
We're about to go on a long drive, and you're telling me about the crash you got in yesterday that was your fault.
Because it puts it into perspective of how these aren't, like, train drivers. Yeah. They're not, like, taxi drivers that know the city. They're just regular people.
Just some dude that could totally, like, rear end a Buick.
He went to, like, an Uber thing, got his car checked for 5 minutes. Took a little exam that probably took him 2 minutes.
Yeah, like, and now he's out on the road driving people around.
Now thousands of people have trusted me with their lives.
Oh, jeez, man. Like, he's driving me, and I'm trying to, like, be nice. I'm like, oh, man, you know, it happens to everybody. It's no big deal. You know, anyone can crash a car. And then I was like...
happens,
like,
every day. Some people die. You know, you didn't. That's cool.
Some people die. You know, it's no big deal. I was like, I've never crashed a car. But you know, now that I've said that, knock on wood. And he's like, man, that's the worst thing to say. That's like saying, I've never had the clap. And there was like an awkward silence. And I was like, yeah, man. And then he was like, hey, knock on wood. And I was like, yep. And then it was silent for a while.
Yep. And then what in the back, just like, I picture you with your hands just.
I had my hands on my knees, in your laps.
Just like, yeah.
I was like, all right. Mm-hmm. And then what happened? What did he say? He started talking about. Yeah, he was like, you know, I grew up homophobic. And I was, he just opened a conversation with that.
That's like, I grew up Christian, but like, instead of like religious or whatever, it's like, I grew up homophobic.
Like in a memoir, like,
I hated the gays when I was younger. Now, you know, the gays are kind of cool.
You know, when I was a young boy, I really did not like those homosexuals.
I'm able to suppress my violent anger towards the gays nowadays.
I keep it in check more. But like, he was just telling me, and I don't remember why he brought that up. I really don't remember.
He wanted to make, because he probably thought you were gay.
He might have.
He's like, look at that bright red jacket.
Yeah, I was wearing a bright red jacket, and he said I was lanky. He's like, you're a lanky fellow.
I
was like,
I don't think lanky means anything. Like, lanky isn't connected to like flamboyant or,
I guess,
or outwardly, like, stereotypically. Well,
maybe because I'm so skinny though. Like, I come off as feminine. Like, I look effeminate because of my. I do have a very effeminate.
Like a feminine Eminem.
I don't know why I thought that was so funny.
Yeah.
That was good. That's pretty good.
Slim Shady lady. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
That was just Bo Burnham. I was just quoting Bo Burnham there.
Oh, that...
No, that wasn't me. That was Bo Burnham.
Really?
Yeah. So you have to go tweet at Bo Burnham right now and say, my friend Ryan stole a joke from you. I laughed. I wanted to make sure you know I laughed at your joke.
I'm more so disappointed because I thought that was you.
Yeah. But I've said it many times over the course of the show. And it's.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow, I've never remembered that. I'm sorry.
It's fine.
Anyway.
But nice, because I texted Haiti. That's the next line after what I said.
I was like, oh, really? So you grew up homophobic? Okay. And he's like, you know, now I got this 15-year-old daughter who, you know, she wants to be a boy sometimes. So I really understand it now. And I'm not homophobic anymore. And I was like, all right, man. Good. That's great. That's great to hear. I'm really glad to hear that. And what else did he start? Yeah, he started talking about sex with me. And it was really uncomfortable. Like, he really started going into it. And he was like, you ever go, you know, you're out here late at night. You're going to go play a game of hide the penis?
You should have told him that was real clever.
I was like, that's good, man.
You should have went. That's, hey, you should have just went, good one.
Are you a comedian during the day? And
Have you ever thought of stand-up, my man?
And then what else did he say? Oh, yeah, he said he didn't like, he started going into his, like, sexual preferences, and he told me, and I didn't ask for any of this, dude. He just, like, went straight into it. He was like, you know, I really don't like, he said, just like, he goes, I don't like Asian girls, to tell you the truth. And I was like, oh.
Was this guy white?
Yeah.
Okay.
Large, which surprised me, because as, like, an overweight white man, I would have thought he would have loved Asian girls. And I was like, oh, I mean, hey, man, to each his own. And he's like, they're too squeaky for me. And I was like,
squeaky?
That's what he said. He said they're too squeaky. I was like, squeaky?
Does he only watch porn?
Yeah.
Has he never had legitimate sex with an Asian woman before?
That's the thing, is I think that he only, like, his idea of Asian women is from, like, porn.
Yeah.
And, like, he's like, you know, they squeak during sex, and I'm just not into that. Because, you know, as a 345-pound man, that's not really for me. And I was like, yeah, okay, man.
In the
man.
Porn, they're like,
and, like, I... I was like, all right, man. It was really uncomfortable. It's just a really uncomfortable conversation. And then he was like, but my friend, you know, he married a Japanese woman. He's got a Japanese wife, and she's, you know, she's so sweet. And
I'm surprised you didn't say Jap.
I figured he would. And I was surprised that he, you know, I'm like, this was in Washington. I thought that I wouldn't get an Uber driver like this in Washington, but, you know. And then at the end of the night, he reached back and the Asian conversation was happening, like he pulled up to let me out, and he kept going on, and I didn't know how to end it. So instead of responding to the Asian thing, I was just like, all right, man, have a great night. Thanks for the ride. And I shook his hand, and I got out, and I left. And that was my story.
Then he went on his way to go terrorize someone else.
Yeah, he probably did terrorize. Like, it was just,
what was his Uber rating?
I didn't check. You know, I can go back and check right now.
Go back and check.
All right, I'm going to check this man's Uber real quick, live on the podcast. Let's see. Nope, hold on. Wrong person. I goofed, dude, relax.
How many Ubers have you taken after this guy, Matt?
Okay, I found it. Jeff.
Jeff.
There he is. Look at him. He got his picture. That's Jeff.
That looks like a guy that would be in the Japanese women.
Right?
And of course he has a 4.7. He's not doing
4.7.
That's not doing well. That's not good at all.
Can I check my rating real quick?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's gone up or if it's gone down. Let me see.
Let me check my rating too.
Jeff drove me at 11:57 p.m. on November 26, 2017. And I never rated him, dude.
There's probably someone I've never rated because I just don't look at the app directly afterwards.
Oh, he's from Salem, Oregon. Oh, wait, Uber drivers can put in about them section.
I'm 4.83, by the way.
Whoa, dude.
4.84.
I am, let's see what
4.86.
4.86.
I knew it.
How'd you know?
Because I think we checked like a few months ago and mine was the same thing and yours is the same thing.
Oh, damn. I swear it used to be 4.82. Guess I must be charming all these Uber drivers with my boyish charm.
Wait, and I have talked about this before, we don't know what we did to deserve these scores on Uber.
Yeah, we get in and we shut our mouths. And I
get on my phone and I shut the fuck up.
Like, I don't bother them at all. Why would they rate me less than 5 stars?
And I always
don't
give them a good tip.
Same.
I always fucking, I don't slam the door ever.
I'm very cautious of slamming the door these days. I am so careful.
My thing is, I don't think many Uber drivers actually rate the customers, so we only see, Uber drivers that only rate the customers are, negative.
Yeah, right? Okay, I can read more about my Uber driver, Jeff. In his About Me section, it says, sarcastic intellectual. So he describes himself as a sarcastic intellectual.
So what if he was just goofing you the whole time?
He could have been, super fucking smart, and he was just like, I'm gonna play with this kid.
He's like, I'm gonna play, I'm this dumb, homophobic... Former homophobic. I don't know. People who describe themselves as an intellectual usually aren't.
Yeah. Unless you're like Albert Einstein and you're known for being an intellectual.
If you're like Tesla, then you're an intellectual.
Yeah. Guys, just a little life tip. Probably don't describe yourself as an intellectual, because if you are an intellectual, people will pick up on that. And if you describe yourself as an intellectual... people are probably going to think you're a little pious.
Yeah.
Okay, so Jeff, his writer compliments, the biggest writer compliment he has is great conversation. He has 44 great conversations.
Very interesting.
Yeah, and 2 awesome musics. I wonder what he was playing. But there's even thank you notes you can read. Wow.
Thank you notes.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your service. Sounds like he was in the fucking military.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angi has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angi app, answer a few questions, and Angi can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angi that. Download the free Angi mobile app today or visit Angi.com. That's Angi.com.
1,000 five-star trips. This guy's done 1,000 five-star trips.
A lot of people just boop.
Man, well, wherever you are tonight, Jeff.
Bless you.
This podcast is dedicated to you, buddy.
And we're going to tell all of our viewers to pray for you, Jeff.
Yeah, everyone pray for Jeff, all
Let's
right?
Let's take a moment of silence. Put some nice music on in the back.
I remembered something.
Are you interrupting prayer?
He broke his toe the day before. So he does have a broken toe, and he crashed his car. So guys, let's pray for Jeff together as a group right now. And okay. Say, Lord Yeshua, please bless Jeff and his broken toe and his broken car. And please give him gift of Asian woman and no homophobia. God bless. Amen.
Okay, Matt. Well, I was giving people a moment of silence because I didn't want to enforce my own religion on others.
We can...
So,
Here, I'll beep out the deity's name I said, and people can...
You said Lord. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of Lords, but still, you know, there's some that are not, that aren't
Lords.
Well,
I'll beep the whole thing out, and then people can imagine when the beep happened, they could fill in their head whatever deity they worship.
I think that's disrespectful to your prayer. I mean, I respect your prayer, but I also want to respect others. So let's give... Like, let's just not talk, like, at the same time for, like, 2 seconds. People can pause the video in that 2 seconds and then pray for Jeff. Okay. In whatever religious, you know, context you want.
Of course. So, guys, here is 2 seconds of silence for you to pray.
Pause.
Okay. Here we go. Okay.
Okay.
Hope you guys enjoyed that. Got some good prayers in for Jeff. Jeff, hope your toe feels better, buddy.
You just had at least 10 people pray for him.
I'd say at least 100 people prayed for him.
I was going to say that, but I didn't want to overstep.
Dude, I'm going to say 1,000 people prayed for Jeff.
Fuck.
Think about it.
Those in the comments, you pray for Jeff in the comments. Leave your prayer in the comments so we know how many prayers exactly there are.
Also, you know what? People, this is not just a podcast that's going to be listened to one day. 5 years from now, someone's going to listen to this, and they're going to pray for Jeff 5 years from now. So you know what we've done for Jeff? We have given Jeff infinite prayers from this point out.
Yeah. And please start prayer threads in the comments.
For Jeff.
Try not to stack them up. Try not to stack. Don't make every singular comment a prayer. Of course, that's going to happen just because, you know.
It happens.
But, you know, for the people that don't want all the fame, start a prayer thread with
your
friends.
Let's get some threads going. And let's pray for Jeff.
Down
right,
in
guys?
The comments section. So thank you.
Thank you. And I'm sure Jeff will have his life blessed in ways unimaginable.
Okay.
So thank you, Jeff.
I was just gonna say something because it came up in my head when I said Tesla.
Yeah, dude.
Do you think Tesla? Hold on. No one. Wait a second. Sorry. I was gonna bring up something because I said Tesla. Do you think Elon Musk is like the Tesla of our time?
It's ironic because he made the Tesla.
Yeah.
I think Elon Musk is, as of right now, in November 2017, I would consider him personally to be like the biggest known technological innovator. I don't...
Like, he's going to be in the history books.
Elon Musk?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. As time goes on, as he continues with SpaceX and Tesla and all
that. Because he's done more than just the cars and the space shit. Space shit.
Okay, does he actually own the Washington Post, or was that just a joke Jory was making earlier?
I don't think he owns it. I know he started, like, he helped found PayPal.
Yeah, he created PayPal.
Didn't he have some battery that charged a city or some shit?
I would imagine so. I think Tesla, they're helping out with, like, Puerto Rico, the recovery from the hurricane. Dude, imagine this guy. He has a fucking spaceship company, a cool car company, Uber, PayPal. Man, it's got all the money in the world.
I'm going to look up Elon Musk companies.
He's also building, like, something, like high-speed rail systems or something.
Yeah, he's got, like, Solar City, SpaceX, Musk Foundation, DeepMind Technologies, Tesla Incorporated, Neuralink.
Jeez.
Like satellite technology company. And then he's got, what's Vicarious?
That's Vicarious
is an artificial intelligence company based in the San Francisco Bay Area, California. They are using the theorized, holy shit. They're building software that can think and learn like a human.
That's terrifying. That's really cool. Like, AI is so cool to me, but it's also unbelievably terrifying,
yeah.
You know? Because it's like, do you think we're going to get in the next few decades into the, like, realm of, like, AI rights? Like, do you think there's going to be start being, like, stuff for, like, AI rights? Because, no, because think about it. If it gets
not
to
in
a
my
point,
lifetime, just like in, like, little, like, kind of, like, hot, you know, those joke flatter threads that you'll find every now and then? That,
yeah.
That kind of started the whole craze, I guess. It's going to kind of be joked around like that. Like, whenever there's a breakthrough in artificial intelligence, it's going to be like, we need the rights. They're learning too fast. And then it's going to be like a GIF of like a stupid looking robot. Just going, duh.
Well, I mean, like, if they developed a computer that could physically like feel and think for itself, then I guess the argument would have to arise like, well, what kind of rights do they have? If it can feel like a, you know, like a, like a living creature.
Like digital abortion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does it have a drinking age? Yeah, it's just kind
of
like, at what point is this this artificial intelligent thing, whatever it is, at what point is it not a life?
Because,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because remember like when PETA did that thing where the monkey took a picture of itself? And then the guy lost a court case, like the photographer. Because
it was the monkey's picture.
Yeah, it was like the monkey's intellectual property. But it's like, it's a fucking monkey. You
know? I
know.
Like,
so that's why I was saying, like, if there's a court case that can be won like that, I think it was won. I might be wrong on that. But if the fact that it could go to court makes me think, like, 50 years from now, when AI is, like, huge, then...
Do you know how long it took women to get their rights? You think we're just going to hand it over to computers?
No. Like, old people nowadays, they're super against new stuff, like gay rights and stuff like that. Do you think when we're old, we're going to be, like, the group of old people against, like, robot rights and, like, AI rights and all our grandkids are going to be like, we have to be open to AI love. And we're just going to be those old people of today, except with, like, robots and shit.
Yeah.
But we're going to be those old people that are, like, anti-robosexuality.
We're just going to be like, robots aren't people.
Like, my man can't marry
a robot.
We're
going to be like the disgusting Republicans of this generation. And I don't mean, not all Republicans, I'm not saying all Republicans are disgusting.
Ryan!
I'm saying like the stereotype of the disgusting
like the old,
Republican.
Like the old Republican man.
Yeah, like just the very harsh stereotype of just some guy in a straw hat on his porch with hay.
We're
going
to be that, but it's going to be about robots.
I have many Republican friends.
I have many robot friends.
Okay, I'm not,
Would you ever date a robot?
Would you ever date a Republican robot?
Would you ever date a Republican, Ryan?
Would I ever date a robot? No.
What? Have you seen her?
I have, but that dude has a bit of a, like, a mental dysfunction.
A little bit,
yeah. I don't think he was 100% normal. Like, I'm not saying he was, like, 100%
He was broken by society. He was beaten and battered. Man, no, but I actually wonder when, like... Because it has to happen. Okay, think about how much technology has advanced just in 10 years. Think about something like Siri. You know, Siri does not seem that complex. But 10 years ago, Siri was like, whoa! So think about like 50 years from now. People are definitely going to be dating their phones. Like there will be people that will date computer programs without a doubt.
Who's going to say that computers aren't going to be the ones to be like, do humans deserve the right to vote? Look at all the shit they did in the past.
That's true. And computers, like, we're perfect. We're computers.
Yeah.
Okay. Real talk.
Once they figure out they're better than us, which they will. Like, it's easy to do the fucking math of how much better they could last forever if they want.
Also, they can do the math in, like, one
heart
millionth
less
of
than
second.
A heartbeat.
Yeah. So, okay. I know that right now it's not a threat. Or maybe it is, and it's being kept behind closed doors. But it's like... People are like, robot takeover. Pfft, no. Like, do you think there's a point in humanity where that will be a threat of artificial intelligence going to war with, like, humanity?
You can't trust artificial intelligence, right?
Because if it has a mind of its own, and it's like, it is superior to humans because it is smarter. If they develop it to the point where it can, like, actually think at the same level of humans, but it doesn't have, like, emotional bias and shit,
yeah,
then that's scary, man. That's really scary. Then, like, what if you build a computer to a point where then it can start programming itself? You know?
Dude, you know, we're just the, in terms of life, we're just the bridge between the next form, whatever that will be. Whether it'll be just a big fucking rock that nothing can live on anymore, or it's a totally different organism, like millions of years from now is, you know, at the head. Because at some point, humanity's just going to crumble and we're not going to be around.
Yeah. Who knows? I mean, maybe
we're gonna go to Mars.
We might be fucking the planet up so much there won't be another, like, intelligent species after Earth. Like,
yeah.
After humans mess everything up.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It's either going to be just a rock or we're going to be here. I don't see us going millions of years in the future.
No.
I don't see that.
Nuclear shit's gotta. It's, like, inevitable that someone's going to nuke someone else and start, like, a huge nuclear, like, meltdown around the world.
I'm giving humanity, like, at the most 3,000 years.
I'd say yeah. Like, I'd say with how, because technology is scary, because, you know, back in the day, like in the year 1000, if two empires hated each other, they'd go kill each other with swords and bows and arrows.
Yeah.
Now it's like, hey, I've got this little thing the size of a soccer ball that can literally kill like a million people in a millisecond.
So. And we're learning how to we're learning to send that to a country that would take about a 13 to 14 hour flight on a commercial airline. We're going to do that in 14 minutes using like this really, have you read about this launching system?
Wait,
China's doing this like,
is that the missile speed?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Like they're going to launch it using like this air tunnel or something. And it would get to the United States in 14 minutes.
So if China launched a nuke, it could get here in less than 15 minutes.
It's not working yet, but their goal is to get it up to that.
Holy
point.
Shit.
And we had a wind tunnel, I think, at one point.
What the fuck? Well, there's like a theorized weapon. I don't know if it's like confirmed to be true, but there was like a theorized, like hypothetical weapon. That's called like the Rod of God, where it's not even like a nuclear weapon. It's just a metal rod that is on like a satellite that gets shot out so quickly that when it hits the ground, it creates like a massive explosion. And it's not even an explosive. It's just because the energy, there's so much energy in this thing that's moving so fast that it just creates like the biggest explosion.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's scary because that's not even a bomb. That's just a metal rod.
There's just some point where it's going to happen because humans are fucked. And, you know, there are a lot of political systems that are fucked and a lot of political systems that allow people to unfairly host power.
Yeah.
And these political systems allow these people to host power as in nuclear weaponry. Like
yeah.
A whole country, like think of North Korea is the first thing that comes to mind. Like the fact that a whole country is that crazy and that just in love with nuclear domination of others is frightening.
Yeah. Especially because like, I don't think North Korea would like honor the whole nuclear agreement. Obviously not, because they're the only country doing this kind of stuff right now.
And that's with someone that probably just wants to conquer. Imagine someone who let's just say like a mass shooter, just has the mindset of fuck all, like fuck it. And like their thing is they don't care if they get wiped out as well. They just want to see it all go to shit.
Well, that's a scary thing too, because it's like,
because it's human emotion at that point.
Because like, I don't think, North Korea is the only country that's tested nukes since the 90s, I think. And I think it's scary is that, like, I think nuclear war is inevitable. It's going to happen, even if it's 1,000 years from now. Like, it's got to happen eventually. And I think that nuclear war will be, like, probably what ends most of humanity, probably.
Was the Geneva Code anything to do with nuclear weaponry? I know it has chemical,
I don't
like,
know.
Shit.
I think
you're not allowed to use nuclear weapons anymore.
No, that's like
definitely
off limits in the whole world.
Or chemical weapons.
And that's why they put sanctions on North Korea, because it's like North Korea is using these like testing nukes. I thought the world agreed not to do that, so.
I don't think you're allowed to use laser beams either.
No, laser beams are banned. Because it's so funny how it's like, all right, guys, there's this thing called war where we all kill each other, and that's the goal is to kill each other. But there's certain things we can't kill each other with because it's too mean.
It's too unfair.
You got to kill within the fair limits.
The United States stepped over the line.
A couple times.
Now we see where the line is.
So no one else can do it.
It's like, was the United States seriously just kind of like the kid that, yeah, just goes into the sandbox, kicks sands in people's faces, and it's like, okay.
No one else can do that.
That's against the rules now.
Yeah. Well, that's so true. Just, oh, man. I wonder if, like, it'd be weird, like, listening back to this podcast a year from now if, like, someone has nuked someone by that point. That'd be crazy.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
It's like that robot chicken cartoon where it's like Lil Hitler, and then it has like all the other classrooms, and it shows the U.S. kid like drinking a milkshake on his desk with his feet up or something, and this Japanese kid comes over and like pushes over his milkshake. Okay, first something's going over, you know, Hitler's being mean. The United States is like, this is not my problem. Then the Japanese kid comes over, pushes the milkshake over, and then he goes, now. It's my problem. And the American kid has like blonde hair and sunglasses and shit.
Oh man, guys, if you don't live in America, fuck you. I just want to say that publicly on the podcast.
Americans are very loud.
Very. Even in America.
I catch myself being loud sometimes, like when someone here is just like, see ya, I'm like, see ya. And I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ, why am I so fucking loud?
I know, I just picture me going, see ya!
I mean, like that's, I always hear that from, like, people from other countries. Like, American tourists are super loud. They're just, like, super-duper loud.
And don't understand bubbles.
Yeah. And every time I've encountered...
they don't understand bubbles. The stupid Americans.
They try to blow bubbles. They can't. Man, this podcast would be so different if you had a German accent. like a hardcore, like...
I'd want a Swedish accent.
Oh, that'd be great,
man. That's Swedish, isn't it? Yeah.
That's some dude. That's somewhere over there. That's like Austrian, German. I don't know what it is.
I just pictured German as sign on the
mind. Sounded kind of like a Japanese like, general trying to speak German.
Did his best.
Oh man, dude. Because you know how I was in Seattle this weekend. It reminded me of last year. I was in Seattle and I was at my uncle's house. And I was trying to show him something on my phone, and my iPhone was really fucked up at the time, and like it would just start clicking things on its own. So he's like, he wanted me to show him this picture. So I was like, yeah, sure, uncle. Here's this picture. So I open up my camera roll and I go to the picture and I give him my phone and he's like looking at it for a minute and I go in the other room and like he comes, he's like, hey, your phone, it like started scrolling through your pictures and it's stuck on this. And it's, let me show you, Ryan. This is the fucking picture. It scrolled over to, and my uncle had to go bring the phone back to me. It's...
Wait, I gotta see it.
Hold on. All right.
Got it?
It was this picture.
Oh my... Fellas, can I read it aloud?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't read the last line, though.
Of course not. Fellas, we all got that one homeboy who thick as fuck.
And it's a picture of a,
It says, tag your boy that you'd have violent anal sex with. Dead ass, though. I know a few thick boys.
You replaced some words.
I replaced a certain expletive with boys.
You know what? The picture's on the screen for those who want to see. That was the picture that was, like, locked on my phone screen that my uncle had to come give to me. And I gave him my phone back, and it did it again. It did it twice.
And he's like, Matt.
Yeah, and I had to explain. I was like, nah, that was a picture that, you know, my friend sent me as like a joke. And
no, it's a joke.
And he was like, sure, I get it. But like, think about how weird that's got to be. Like, imagine like you're an uncle, and like your nephew gives him, and then you get this like, this like compressed ghetto meme that says, "Fellas, we all got that one homeboy who thick as fuck."
What? Who are going to be the comedians of kind of like the generation behind us? The what is it called? Generation Z?
Well, I don't know, because they...
Isn't that what they're called?
They're probably kids right now.
Is that what they're called, though?
Generation Z?
Yeah.
I don't know. I actually heard that for the first time from you recently. So I don't know.
Let me see.
Generation Z?
Let me look it up. Generation Z. Generation Z is the demographic cohort after the millennials. So that's after us. So yeah.
Do millennials end at the year 2000?
I think so.
Wait. Okay. So Generation Z, what comes after Generation Z?
What the fuck is this? People also search for Millennials, Generation X, Baby Boomers, September 11 attacks. Like, it's just there.
Man,
like, I'm scrolling
generation.
Through, I'm looking up generation names, and all of a sudden there's a picture, and it's a violent picture of just the Twin Towers with one of the
just exploding,
planes exploding
into it. I
guess
probably it. Because that's the biggest historical
that is a generational,
event
yeah,
of
thing.
That of Generation Z, I guess, if Generation Z is everything after 2000.
You know what was weird that I talked to you about? Because we hung out with Finn and made a video with him, which was super fun.
Finn's a cool kid.
We love you.
I love you, Finn.
You should come on the podcast sometime, maybe.
Absolutely.
Finn wasn't alive during 9/11. You're like, no, he's not. I was like, whoa. I don't know. That just really blew me away. I was like, oh, wow. I'm realizing how much younger Finn is at that point. At that point, I'm like, what is his kind of big thing? Is it Donald Trump? Is Donald Trump his big political, like, or just kind of like worldly event? Because he's so just kind of like popularized.
For him to be like cognitive of, yeah, probably. Like Donald
Even
Trump
though he's
becoming
Canadian.
President. Yeah. Oh man. Like the cool thing about Finn though is he's like almost 15, but you wouldn't guess when you hang out with him. Like his comedy and everything, he feels like he's our age. So that's like the weird thing about hanging out with him. And he's super cool. I've never met a 14-year-old as cool as Finn Wolfhard.
Besides me, when I was 14.
I didn't know you when you were 14. I would have loved to have known you when you were 14, Ryan. I would have loved to have bullied you when you were 14.
When I look back at when I was 14, I look at Finn and I'm like, I was probably such just an embarrassing little shit.
Dude, he's so cool for someone his age. And I'm like, dude, when I was 14, I had a bowl cut and I wore like really skinny jeans and I had like a scene face.
I had an awful haircut. I wore shitty baggy clothes that never fit me.
Same. And he's like,
but I guess he's also a fucking like child star.
Yeah, I guess so. But it's like, I don't know, dude, are kids becoming cooler these days? Like, cause like seriously, look back at pictures of you and me when we were in middle school and like everyone else seemed so uncool. And now you go on social media and you see like 15-year-olds and you're like, oh shit, they're dressing pretty hip and stuff, and they're listening to some cool music. I wasn't listening to that cool music when I was 15. What's the deal?
The internet?
Yeah, is it the internet? It's making everyone more mature. It is. It is making everyone more mature.
There was a lot less stuff when you and I, you know, because the internet came out, not around, like, our time, but it was it was in its early stages.
It wasn't as accessible as it is today.
Yeah.
Mainly because of smartphones. And when I say kids becoming more mature, I mean that in the sense of not like, mature, like, oh, you're so mature. I mean, like, they're exposed to more like adult humor and stuff. So they
because
break
the internet's
that,
just right there.
Yeah,
it's right there.
They break that like childhood kind of innocence that you keep until usually through like high school when they're in like fifth grade.
Yeah, because like parental lock, I'm not sure how it is nowadays, but it was super good back then.
Yeah.
So if my parents wanted me to not see any type of thing, I had to do some heavy lifting to find that shit.
Do you remember, like, when you were at school, too, the school systems would block any website that was, like, fun. Like,
yeah,
they blocked YouTube. They blocked Google. They blocked Google Images in my school.
You just got proxy sites, though.
Oh, I had a friend that he got suspended for using a proxy because they caught him doing it.
Oh,
so I was too scared to do
that. How'd they catch him?
Because it was on the...
log or whatever?
Yeah, it was on the log, and they called him to the office. I'm like, what's this? And they kicked him out of school for a week. But, like...
Never got caught, bitches.
Nowadays, it's like, oh, well, you could just use 4G. and on your phone and look at stuff at school. Like, you don't need the school's computer.
Oh, my God. That made me remember this one time at the library in, like, high school when I was a freshman. Like, my friend was, like, showing me that you couldn't pull porn up on the computer, so he looked up something. Like, and then it was on Google Images, and it was this just porn website.
At school?
Like, he found it through Google Images or something. He found it through an image. Like, he went to the, I don't know how he did it. But he got to some porn website, and he's like, I'm like, what? He goes, wait, this wasn't supposed to happen. We're in the middle of the library. The computers are in the dead center of the library. and he tried to exit out, but computers back then weren't as trustworthy, so it froze up.
Oh,
and
no.
And so the bell already had rung, and you know how you have that five-minute period? So he was just showing me in this five-minute period. I'm like, dude, we have to go. So we just left the library with the porn on the
computer.
Was
he logging into his, like, school account, though?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
I don't know what happened to him. I say we were friends, but we were more like acquaintances. You know, people that you only talk to in your one class?
But for storytelling, it's easier to say friend than, like... I knew I had this acquaintance.
He was one of those kids that you only talk to in that certain class that you go to.
Yep, but you didn't know anything else outside of that
class?
You
didn't hang out outside of school or anything. Yeah. He wasn't in your main friend group.
Did I ever tell you I saw a guy at a public library looking at porn once? Like,
was he masturbating?
No, he was just scrolling through some weird, like, really small porn blog.
It is both, like, so embarrassing for the person, and I also feel bad for him, but then I'm like, oh, this creep, this is a public area. Have you seen those videos where, like, someone films, like, this old guy looking at porn?
In a library, yeah.
Yeah, it's that, there's this one video of this guy with, like, crazy hair. He goes, hey.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Does that.
Like, I kind of felt bad for him, even though he's being a fucking creep.
I know.
I feel like he's just, like, such an unaware creep. And it's like...
Oh, he's aware.
Yeah. I don't know. I just felt bad because it's like, that's so embarrassing. But then I got to remember, he's fucking doing that in public, so I shouldn't feel bad for him.
Exactly.
Don't look at porn in public, guys. You should not do that. That's not... That's for when you're at home.
Is it illegal?
To look at porn in public? Yeah. I don't know if there's a law against looking at porn in public. I think doing it in a way that where you could expose it to people, like at the library... You're definitely exposing it because the computer this guy was at was facing everyone. And I was like, what the fuck are you looking at, dude? I didn't say that. I filmed him, actually. I didn't let him know I filmed him, but I had it on my phone for a while because I thought it was funny and I sent it to my friends. But he was like just scrolling through some weird porn blog in the middle of the library. And it's like, dude, you're not even trying to cover up the screen. Like, how do you get to that point in life where you just don't give a shit? It's like, I'll just look at some porn. No one like, if they see me, I don't really care. It's like,
if they kick him out, he gets kicked out. Then he has the images in his brain. Holy shit. I remembered I read this whole book and was precisely on why you masturbate.
You read a book on why you masturbate?
Yeah, because like some youth leader or something.
It's a great way to like just start going into the story.
We were learning, like, the sex lessons or whatever.
My church never did those.
That sounds weird.
We were learning the sex lessons in church.
It was sex ed, but in church. But it was mainly, like...
Really?
Don't do this shit when we go on youth trips and shit like that. And it taught you... And it was teaching you what exactly they meant. And so it's like, your body's going to start changing. You're going to feel attracted. But don't act on those things. You know, it's like one of those types of things. And they had books that they were like saying we're good, and so one of the youth leaders was like, "Here's a book." It was all about kind of like what happens in your brain while you masturbate,
like the science of like the dopamine and everything.
Why do you feel bad after you masturbate?
Well, that's actually God inside of
it. It was a Christian book. Like,
yeah, that's like
the sole purpose of the book wasn't about masturbation, but that was a large section.
Man, imagine,
and I remember it was
like,
bookmarked.
Okay, so we feel weird when people ask us what we do. Imagine it's like, so what do you do? I wrote a book teaching Christian kids the truth about masturbation. Oh.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to start saying in Ubers. I'm like, I write books about masturbation to educate Christian children.
To educate the youth. Some of it, I don't know if it was true. One of the things was once you splooge, your like brain takes a snapshot of that image or whatever.
I don't know about that.
Not to where you can pull it up like perfectly in your brain, but like that is kind of seared a little more into your memory at that moment.
Well, I actually, maybe I could see that because when you splooge, you get a huge dopamine rush. So I imagine your brain would remember everything that's happening during a specific moment of like elevated dopamine. But I, what was the point of them bringing that up? Just to be like, you're going to remember your sin and feel guilty about it?
I don't know. I don't remember the book.
Was the book literally just teaching you about masturbation?
It was teaching you about just masturbation.
Was it like a negative lesson?
Porn. Just how you shouldn't do it.
How you shouldn't look at breasts online.
I know it feels good, but you shouldn't do it.
Shouldn't do it,
bad,
kids.
Bad, bad, bad.
Here we are on the Super Mega Podcast to officially condone masturbation and pornography, guys. Hey, and for all you guys doing No Nut November, today's when this podcast comes out. It's your last day of No Nut November, guys. So be strong. You know what I'm saying? Don't splooge.
Don't splooge.
Please don't splooge. And Ryan and I say that if you masturbate once in your life, you're going to hell. That's just a fact.
There are people that are just like, God damn it. Just because they were listening to us on speakers and the conversations were kind of all right.
And then it started us talking about
jerking
off.
And then we just used the word masturbate a lot. And whenever we use the fucking word masturbate, it's just like, it's like one of those words you hear, your head's like, huh?
You know, the thing is like,
someone talking about masturbation?
It's more of a professional word than like jerk off. But it's more
jerk off.
It's
dude.
More embarrassing.
Dude, are you gonna go beat your meat?
Dude, I'm gonna go slap my shaft around a little bit.
Spank the monkey?
I'm gonna go choke the chicken.
Ah.
I'm trying to think of some more I couldn't. I'm gonna go
jog on.
Do you like don't you agree that the word masturbate is more of like an uncomfortable word to say than like jerk off? It's like ugh.
Well,
it feels weird.
It's like jerk off, you can
it's chill.
It's like one of those things where you can open the door and be like, jerk off.
And shut it.
Yeah, and shut it. It's like one of those phrases where it feels like you're just getting it out. You're just getting it out there. But masturbate's like, masturbate.
Yeah, it's like drawn out. And I feel like too professional. It's like, it feels...
It's a harsh word.
Masturbate.
Master
it feels too
is a commanding word. And bait is a very violent word in the way you use it. Like,
sharp
fuck. Or dick.
Bait.
Bitch.
Masturbate has some sharp consonants.
Yeah.
Man, if this podcast doesn't get demonetized because the computers go through the transcripts and it's just picking up masturbate, masturbate, okay, well, this podcast is no good anymore.
I know, there's no way this is being monetized.
Oh, God damn it. Big round of applause to YouTube for demonetizing literally 95% of the videos we upload so we can't make any money off of them, and then maybe like a day later being like, oh, just kidding, they were family friendly.
They're
the whole
all
time.
Green on our fucking channel.
Literally, they let go every single video except the podcast best ofs, not sure why, those are the ones they keep. Every other video, minus like two or three every 2 months. They let go of.
With Far Cry, they were good for days. The moment it goes public, yellow.
Yeah, so we started uploading videos like way in advance. Then they get flagged, and then we appeal them.
Sometimes
before
we
they go
get
public.
Lucky.
Sometimes we get lucky. We got a series coming out real soon that I'm really excited about because it's a really, really good series, in my opinion, that we already got all cleared for monetization, and I swear to Christ. Like, but seriously, it's like every video we upload gets flagged, and we don't get to make, like, the
that's sweet
proper
money.
Revenue on it that, you know, I mean, that's how we support ourselves. That's how
especially
we make a living.
With the holidays.
Yeah.
Like, you get, basically, during the holidays, you get a higher RPM. What is an RPM, Matthew?
That basically means how much money you make per amount of YouTube video watched.
Yeah, because the reason that is because advertisers put a lot of their ads during the holidays, because like, buy this, buy that.
Because that's when people advertise the most, yeah.
Yeah.
So therefore, you make more money in the last quarter of the year.
Yeah, so for YouTubers everywhere, it's kind of like this big bastion of, big numbers. But with the recent YouTube shit, it's just kind of average numbers.
It's like, well, thanks, YouTube.
I mean,
it's just disappointing knowing that it's like, oh, well, we could be making, you know, more off of our videos, but thanks to YouTube's stupid system, we're not. And I think what makes me the most upset is that all of the videos in the end are determined as family friendly. So we lost the money for nothing. And there's no form of compensation, of course. It's just, well, you don't get that revenue's gone. Sorry. And YouTube's excuse is, hey, well, the system is learning. That's why when it lets go of videos, it learns not to flag videos. That's not true. It flags our videos more than ever and it lets them all go. So the system's clearly not learning.
And then let's for example, you know, Cuphead's episode 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Is 9 the finale?
I think so, yeah.
And 9 the finale are all good. They're all green. Number 4, on the other hand, is confirmed as being, like, non-age appropriate.
Yeah, non-advertiser friendly.
Yeah, and it's like, what?
And the thing is, they're not even specific about what makes the video. Like, it would be so much better if they at least, like, gave you a time code. Like, it's not advertiser friendly because the transcript picked inappropriate language up at 4 minutes and 60 seconds. Wait, that didn't make sense. 4 minutes and 15 seconds. It's like shit like that. It's like, if they gave you a reason, if they were like, violence, it's like, okay, well, we talk about guns at this in this video. All right, let's cut that out.
They gotta give themselves an out, though.
Yeah, that's the whole, it's so stupid. It's unbelievable. YouTube is a little bit of a shitty company, excuse my language.
But, you know, they,
My
just brain went back to, like, before I was a content creator on YouTube and when I was just a fan of YouTubers.
Yeah.
Those were some good old, those were just some good times as a, just childhood in general.
Yeah.
Just kind of like going over to like a friend's house and watching like a Smosh video or some shit.
I mean, I still do that. Not Smosh, but no, nothing against Smosh. I'm just saying that's not what I do now. Like I'll go to my friend's house and we'll just try to find really weird, obscure YouTube videos with like 20 views. That's one of my favorite things to do.
What we do is, like, I'll go and we'll, like, put up compilations. So one time, me and my friend group, we did an odds are. Like, odds are we have to watch this hour-long King Batch Vine compilation. and we lost.
Did you watch the whole thing?
We got through half of it. So we made through, like, half an hour.
You gotta finish that, man. Next time you're back in Columbia, you have
to go
back and finish it.
We just couldn't do it. We could not do it. And, you know, vines are, like, 7 seconds or whatever. So it's
that's
like,
a shit ton of vines, man.
Dude, yeah.
I remember I lost a, what are the odds, when I was a freshman, that was like, my friend and I had to listen to the entire 10-hour extended version of Life is Beautiful, which was a track from Deadly Premonition, and it's one that's like, that song.
How'd you have to listen to that?
It was on YouTube. So
did you have to like pause and play?
Mm-hmm. Over
Would you just like talk and like have it in the background?
We got 4-something hours in.
Okay.
Never finished it though. But 4 hours, man, that's a lot. It's a good song though. It's actually a surprisingly good song. Have you heard it from Deadly Premonition?
Yeah, because I edited the Game Grumps.
That song is fucking awesome. That game has good music, I do have to say. They reused the same tracks over and over, but that game has some pretty good music.
I just don't have any good memories because of the snafu that happened.
Oh yeah.
And I had to put in like door sound effects, gun sound effects, footsteps sometimes, thunder, lightning, car door sound effects, car driving sound effects.
Everything after
not lightning, sorry, just thunder sound effects.
Shortly after we started working at Game Grumps, Ryan had to edit Deadly Premonition.
14 episodes.
When the audio got lost, so he had to like add all the sound effects in manually, which is a lot more work than it seems.
Yeah, it was like 21 episodes. We came in and recorded a bunch of zombie noises.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah,
to I just add the added background. In.
I forgot about that.
Good yeah, times, it was man. Fun. I have to say that was like a fun little kind of just project. Looking back, during the first 7 episodes not so bad. When I found out that the next 7 episodes also didn't have sound, I wasn't
too happy.
Yeah, I wasn't much of a happy camper, but you know,
you did kill my cat, but I let things in the past slide. You know, I don't hold grudges.
It's fine.
Rest in peace, banana. But it's cool, man. Not mad.
R.I.P.
R.I.P., man. Pour one out for my homie Banana. My sweet, dearest Banana, who the hair on his back stands up, and I don't know why it always is standing up.
Always?
So, veterinarians in the comments, if you know why his hair, like, stands up, like, it's just always, like, ever since I got him, it just stands up, like, in the middle of his back. And I brush it down, and it just stays up. Don't know why. It looks weird, so...
That's not where he licks his back or whatever.
He literally can't get to that part of his back. It's like straight on his spine. It just like his hair stands up like a fish that has a fin.
Okay.
It's weird. Just like prickly.
Ryan's movie recommendation of whatever.
It's time for Ryan's movie recommendation of whatever.
I saw the best movie I've seen all year.
Damn.
And when I first saw it, I was like, it's really good. And then I thought about it some more and I want to go see it again. But it's definitely my favorite viewing experience, and it's just might be my favorite movie of 2017. It's Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. That's comma Missouri, okay?
I really want to see it. The trailer looked awesome.
So good.
And Tucker saw it too and said it was incredible.
Have you ever seen In Bruges?
I have not.
Have you ever seen Seven Psychopaths?
I have not.
Oh, have you heard of any of those? From the same director.
Was Brad Pitt in Seven Psychopaths?
No. Sam Rockwell.
I'm thinking of 12 Monkeys.
Yeah. But no, it was just a really good movie. I think you'd like it.
Yeah, I definitely want to see. Was it emotional?
It had emotional scenes, but it's kind of mixture of dark tone and, you know, light heartedness. I don't want to say lighthearted. It's not like a happy comedy. I don't want to give too much away. I don't want to tell people what to expect, but I just want to say I enjoyed that they cared about the characters they put in their story. Cause you know, when you read a good book and you're like, that character was memorable, I remember that character. And you can kind of list the character traits off because they were kind of,
yeah,
like just a good character, not just a stale kind of one dimensional thing. I liked most characters in that movie.
That's awesome.
Woody Harrelson, Sam Rockwell, and who played the lead? I'm slipping on her name, but the lead actress was super good.
Oh man, I really want to see it now. Maybe I'll go see it tonight or tomorrow night. Who knows? I got so much work to do because the holidays are coming up.
You and I both, brother.
We are swamped, dude. We are swamped for the next 3 weeks, except for this upcoming week because we're going somewhere.
Yes, we are.
We're going to Disney World.
Yay!
Woo!
So yeah, going to Disney World.
That'll be fun. But yeah, guys, that's Ryan's movie recommendation of whatever. I hope you guys liked it. So if Ryan says that that's his favorite movie of the year, then that means...
I haven't finished the year yet.
Okay, but that means you should probably go see it. I will probably see it and give my comments on a later podcast. So stay tuned, unless you're listening to this way later and you can go skip to that podcast right now. Go do it then. But this has been a wonderful episode 70 of our podcast. We'll be back next week with episode 71. And sorry, last week there was no podcast because it was Thanksgiving and we just uploaded the Cooking with Finn Wolfhard video instead of the podcast. And we hope you guys like that because we had a really fun time making it. Got more stuff like that coming soon.
Not a fun time eating the food, though.
I did not have a fun time eating that food.
Tucker's drink was the fucking worst.
That was seriously the worst thing ever. We didn't even talk about that at all.
I want to wait till we have Tucker back on so we can talk about our meals in length and the experience.
At a later date, maybe the next podcast or an upcoming podcast, we will definitely talk more about the cooking video we did with Finn Wolfhard.
Yeah.
And more behind the scenes stuff about that.
But unfortunately, Tucker took a trip to Peru, so... we'll be seeing him whenever he gets back from Peru.
He might not ever get back. He might be evading the law, but I can't go into much. So.
Yeah. But, Tucker, if you're listening to our podcast on, your wonderful, trip in Peru.
On a little ham radio and he's got a full beard and he's up in the mountains hiding from the cops.
Yeah.
We miss you, buddy. Come home.
Cause his plan is to build a rocket ship in Peru. Sorry.
Cannot talk about that.
But anyways, thank you all for joining us on the podcast. We appreciate everyone who listens.
All of you.
We appreciate definitely everyone who supports us in every way, whether that be watching the videos, commenting, liking, responding, you know, through social media or just overall just being a fan. Or
telling
even
your friends.
Buying the merch.
Yeah, buying the merch for real, guys, because that's really helping us out in this whole YouTube shit, how they're demonetizing all this shit.
Any way of support you guys show, thank you so much.
We appreciate it.
I still sometimes don't understand why, because I see myself as, you know, just some guy that happened to land here.
Same.
But here I am. So, and people seem to fucking enjoy it for some reason. Whatever. I don't know. I can't get past it.
It's weird.
I can't get
Same,
past
man.
It.
Same, man. I still can't. Like here I am in your life. Here you
are in mine.
Yes, we have the sweet life. Most of the time, you and me, we got hypocrisy. So come on, get out! Go!
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project
in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.